Our dear Lord said, "I am the good shepherd." This was a very familiar image for the Jewish people. Sheep were raised for food, for wool, and also temple sacrifices. Josephus, the great Jewish historian, records how every Passover, when all the Jews would gather from within almost a 100-mile radius in Jerusalem, 100,000 sheep were sacrificed for the Passover meals. One can hardly imagine, then, the size of the flocks and the number of the shepherds. It's also a very powerful image, too. A shepherd had to be very diligent to protect his sheep from ravenous animals or thieves, to nourish them, and to also lead them along the right path. Here, we think then of how the shepherd is a leader. I remember about 5 years ago, we had a deacon with us named Eric Clark. You may remember him. He's now a priest in the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska. His father was a rancher. And Eric Clark made the point, especially since I'm not familiar with farming, that one drives cattle, but one leads sheep. So one has to think that a shepherd is looking forward, but he also has to have, like my mom would say, eyes in the back of the head to make sure all the sheep are staying together and moving along. That reminded me, as I was thinking about all this, of when I was smaller and my mom would take me to the grocery store. She would be pushing the cart, and she was looking ahead, but she had to keep looking back because sometimes I would lag behind looking at the cookies or the candy. Ironically, the role has reversed. Now, I'm pushing the cart, and I have to make sure Mom is following me. Every now and then, I look behind, and where's Mom? And then I hear the voice, "Billy, where are you?" "I'm over here. Where are you?" "Cookies." So anyway, back to where we are. Jesus identifies himself as this good shepherd. He came to do the will of his Father. He came to lay down his life for us, offering that perfect sacrifice on the cross. He is also not just priest, but Lamb of God. With that, Jesus is the good shepherd who identified himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He leads us along that straight, narrow path through this life and ultimately to the gates of heaven. He's the one who nourishes us through the sacraments that he instituted, especially the great gift of the Holy Eucharist. He's the one who protects us from evil by fully revealing God's truth and love. So even though we may live in this world of so many contrary opinions, ideologies, whatever we want to call them, Christ has revealed the truth. In the end, though, Jesus entrusted his role as shepherd to his apostles. So even though our Lord ascended back to heaven, he didn't leave us like an abandoned flock. He established a church. He gave us the shepherds. He tells the apostles at the ascension, "Now you go out, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize, and teach everything I have commanded you." So we hear then in our first passage how St. Peter, the first pope, proclaims the gospel message, and many are baptized on that very day. We think then of also how the leadership given to the apostles as bishops and priests has been handed on. As the church grew, the apostles did ordain deacons to help with the service, welfare needs of the church. Also, they ordained priests so that the people could have the nourishment, the leadership that they needed. So in all, how beautiful it is that our Lord established a church, but he also gave us a leadership. By the power of the Holy Spirit, this church continues on. The leadership continues on. And we have the sacraments, the truth, the revelation that Christ gave to us. Now, with that in mind, we look at our church. So we have, for instance, a pastor, and the Latin word for shepherd is pastor. we have a parish, which comes from the Greek word parokia, meaning sojourners. So we're all gathered here as this flock, as sojourners. We're traveling on that road, that straight path that leads ultimately to heaven. My role as the pastor then, like any priest, is to be that good shepherd. I am called then to lead. I am called to nourish you through the celebration of the sacraments. I am called to teach the truth. I'm not here to be a comedian. I'm not here to give popular opinion or make anyone feel comfortable. I am here to preach the truth, to teach that truth, so that you and I can stay on that right path. This is not always easy, especially given the world in which we live. But we can ask ourselves this: if we don't listen to Christ's truth or the teachings of the church, whose truth, so-called truth, are we going to listen to? Who's the shepherd that we're going to follow? And where is the shepherd going to take us? Well, Christ, the good shepherd, has entrusted the truth to his church, which leads to heaven. Nevertheless, as a pastor, especially as I approach 34 years of priesthood, I think back of how, and I do this regularly, how when I was ordained, I took promises of celibacy and obedience, to lay down my life for the Lord, for you. At the ordination rite, right after those promises, the priest candidates prostrate themselves, the litany of the saints is chanted, and then they rise up, kneel before the bishop, and are ordained. It's always a sign of death and resurrection, death to oneself, and rising to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. I think of that. And you have to remember, being the faithful flock, all of your priests make that promise. But I also think at the end of my life, I will face judgment. And one day, the Lord's going to look at me to see how good of a shepherd I was. And that sometimes can be rather frightening when we think we face judgment and have to give that accounting of our lives. Nevertheless, on this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, what we call Good Shepherd Sunday, we should think about vocations. In a sense, as Pope Francis said, for today, pray for your parish priests. Very important. Pray for them. Because where will the devil attack? The devil knows he can't conquer the church from the outside. But as Archbishop Fulton Sheen always said, he'll try to attack from the inside. Specifically, he'll try to strike the shepherds. Strike the shepherd, the flock scatters. So pray for your parish priests. Pray that they'll have the grace to be good shepherds. Pray also for vocations. In our diocese, we are very blessed. We have 45 men, last I heard, studying to be priests, college level and theology level. This summer, in June, we'll have 3 men ordained in our diocese as priests. One of them will be Father Nicholas Shear, Father Shear's brother. Our deacon, Ryan Mattingly, will be ordained a priest in Peoria, so God bless him. But we're very blessed to have these men deciding to become priests. In our own parish, too, we should rejoice, because in the short time we've existed, we've had Father Sly and Father Danny Heenan. Joey Machetto, one of our founding members, will be ordained, God willing, in 3 years. And now another young man, James Joseph, will begin his theology studies this year. How beautiful that is. I should not forget, too, we've had Sister Mary Lawrence take her final vows as a Dominican sister, Mary Mother of the Eucharist. And now we have Sister Fatima, who's in the novitiate for the Little Sisters of the Poor. So that's pretty good for the size of our parish and that we're a new parish. But that says something about the prayerfulness and the spirituality of our parish. So we should be praying for them. Same time, we should be praying for more vocations. After all, we need future priests, future religious. In the bulletin today, This is especially for the young people. There's an insert from Bishop Burbage, and it talks about vocations. When I think of talking with young people about the priesthood or religious life, three questions always come up. Well, how did you know? Well, it'd be wonderful if God sent a message, you know, some telegram or a letter, email, text, whatever these days. It doesn't work that way. I can say that when I was in college, around my junior year, I had this gut-level feeling I wanted to be a priest. I'd go to Mass on Sundays, and I would think, that's what I want to do. I would hear a homily, and I'd say, I could do better than that. That would be fun. So, and then, you know, you have this gut-level feeling, what do you really want to do with your life? So finally, in my senior year, I said, okay, God, leave me alone, because I had everything planned out, graduating, CPA exam, acceptance into law school. But that summer, I had to deal with it. And I finally said, fine, Lord, I'll give you 1 year. So I saw a priest and said, no matter what, I'll stick it out for 1 year in the seminary. So I went off to the seminary, and we know what happened after that. But the key is, it's a gut-level feeling. No different than I think when people fall in love and want to get married. They just know it. You can't explain it. It's just there. Another question that comes up is, what do you like to do best? Well, the answer is, what I'm doing right now. Offering the Holy Mass, preaching, and teaching. At the Easter Vigil, it comes together beautifully because having instructed adults for several months in the faith, then administering baptism, confirmation, and First Communion. What a great gift. Some ask, do you have any regrets? After all these years, not at all. I do know that there's tough times, there's times of real sacrifice, but no regrets. And that's a matter of love. Just like in marriage, good times, bad, sickness and health, till death do us part, same thing for a priest. But the love is focused on the Lord and serving His flock, you all. So my brothers and sisters, let's pray for vocations this day. Pray for your parish priests. Pray for those studying now to be priests. But let's pray for our young people that they will open their hearts to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, discern His will, and, if by the grace of God, follow Him. Where would we be if we did not have priests? May God bless you.